Coffee Day. Okay? So National Coffee Day, so I started doing some research on some coffee and studying up some coffee, just on the statistics of coffee, because, you know, some people don't drink coffee, which I don't know why you wouldn't drink coffee, but because it tastes so good, is that what you said, Esther? I know, I heard. I've always really enjoyed coffee. I remember, like, the first time I started drinking, yeah, like, when I was a little kid, my parents would have people over, and I'd always try to get the bottom of the coffee. You remember as a little kid, you try to get that last little bit out of someone's coffee cup? I did as a kid, because my mom was like, you're too young for coffee. Well, that just made me want to have coffee. But so then, yeah, when I did construction and started in high school, I would always stop at a Wawa, and everyone showed up with their coffee in the morning, and I just started drinking coffee. But anyhow, so coffee is actually so it's National Coffee Day. So today, as you go out, like some places, I think even here we have free coffee today. So it's National Coffee Day. So it's a special event. We have free coffee, but even, yeah, reward points. Yep. Get your card out. We'll mark it off for you. Sheets, I think, yeah, Wawa, all these places, Starbucks, they're giving away coffee. Well, if you have the app, right? So you need your app so they can text you. But so if you stop for gas today and you want coffee, you might get a deal. But so coffee is actually like what there's 2.5 cups per person per day is what the estimate usage is of coffee. That's a lot of coffee. So coffee's like, which I didn't know, but coffee's the number one drink in the number two drink in the United States right after water. So bottled water is number one. Then you have coffee. And I guess over in Europe, it's tea. Tea's probably number one over in England. But, so most people like, and Starbucks is actually the number one brand. They just beat out Dunkin' Donuts or Dunkin' now. Of the coffee scenario, and 39% of people drink their coffee with milk or cream. And then these are details that I thought interesting. You might be like, what in the world? But 39% drink with milk and sugar, which that's another thing. I don't like sweet coffee, but 18% people drink it just black, straight black, no cream, no sugar. And then 5% of the people that drink coffee just like sugar. Who just likes sugar in their coffee? Anybody in here? Just some type of sweetener. Just sweetener. Okay, no. How about cream? Who puts cream in their coffee? How about black? Okay, yeah. Okay. So every morning I get a black coffee. But then if I stop at like a Wawa or Sheets, I usually get it's like a treat, so I get a little cream. I don't know, it's just me. But anyway, so that took me to a good coffee jokes this morning. How does Moses make coffee? He brews it. Yep, he brews it. Okay, so he brews it. What is it called when you steal someone's coffee? It's called a mugging. Yeah, the mug, you got your mug. How are coffee beans and teenagers alike? They're always getting grounded. So if you have young kids, just remember that. Your kid is like a coffee bean when they become teenagers. And then we have one latte joke, since people do like to have the milk with their coffee. What do you call a cow that just gave birth? Decaffeinated Esther 2 this morning. Are you tapped into my computer? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I saw that one last time. I was like, man, that's really funny. I never heard that. So decaffeinated. So this morning, let's open up in prayer, and then I'm going to kind of get into where we're going. And I did change the title of this because I'm on a rabbit trail. Not a rabbit trail, but do you ever start to study something, and after our study that we looked at last week, I just kind of wanted to nail down some more specifics for me personally. So you're going to join with me on this journey. I don't know how long it's going to take, I don't know where we're going to go with it, but this is where I'm going to go. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. God, your power, your majesty and your wonder, Lord. The next couple weeks or however long this takes, help us to see and understand your power. That's what I'm trying to get a grip and an understanding, Lord, of just how powerful you are, because our minds are so limited on what we can really contemplate and really understand of how great you are. Help us to really, as we hone into scripture, to really see how powerful you are as our God. In your name we pray. Amen. Ephesians, when we started with Ephesians, I'm just going to start, this is kind of where my mind went as we were discussing Ephesians. Because for 7 weeks, as we went over Ephesians, we read and started with this verse for 7 weeks, which was verse 10, chapter 6 in Ephesians, verse 10. We're not going to stay there, but this is where my mind started to go where we're going to go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. His mighty power. So my thought then was, as I started reading that, how powerful, it's mighty power, how powerful is our God? Because we have our world, we have our society, and that we see all this, and everyone talks about our society and talks about technology and talks about all these great things, and scripture talks about God's mighty power. And in churches, you know, as a kid, we grow up and we hear all the stories of God's power, and we see, you know, the stories of the miraculous things taking place. But so many times when we're push comes to shove as people, we get hit with problems around us. And what do? We forget, or do we understand the power, the immense power that God has? So I wanted to pull out through scripture, and we're going to start in Genesis 1, and I wanted to go back to the very beginning, and the original part of us going to be in the beginning, and we're going to kind of start going through the creation story, which that's where we're going to start in. But I changed the title of just the power of the beginning. And I wanted to step back and take this journey of looking at the power of God. We know the power of our salvation in Jesus, and we have all this stuff that we know, but how many times do we forget or we don't understand the full power of our God? We get lost in our mind, in our society, and our problems, and our stuff. And for me, I wanted to drop all the stuff. I wanted to drop stuff and just really concentrate. I'm not centered yet. No, better. Looking at the door. I just really wanted to stop and say, okay, God, you have provided me salvation. You have given me breath. You have created my bones and my structure. I'm formed in your image. How much do I really know and understand about the power of the God who I serve? A lot of times for me, I'll look at and try to understand our national politics or the foundation of our government. How much power do we have in God, and how powerful is God? So that's the journey we're going to start to take. My thought here is, how to understand the power of God is to understand God's power in Scripture. So we need to look at Scripture to understand, because this is what we have, the knowledge of God. This is it, right here. What we can gather out of here and break down is the knowledge and power that we have of God. And we know that this is a roadmap for our life, but let's step back now. We know our life. We just came off of a series looking at the spiritual realm and the heavenly realms. Now I want to look and step back of even the top of that heavenly realm, the top of that realm, which is God, which starts then in Genesis, exactly where we first find God. Genesis 1. We're going to stay on this verse all day. And what I did here was I stepped back and I really wanted to go word for word from a translation standpoint to the Hebrew. Just to really get an understanding, because this verse, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God was. God has always been. God is, I can't even explain it. Because in our mind, we're locked into a time frame, right? We know our time, we know our beginning, and we know our end. But when I think about God, in the beginning, it's God. God has been. God is there. How can our minds begin to understand that immense power of eternal existence? And it's mind-boggling to me, but yet that's God. God, Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, we step back and look at the beginning in Hebrew is Rasheth. The Hebrew for that means, it's the first in place, the order in ranking. So that the phrase of the word beginning is, this is the first in place, the beginning of all things. This is the start for us. The start for God was he's never started. He's always been. But for us, we start with here in the beginning of script. In the beginning, this is God. God has already been. And that's the beginning. That's the structure that we're looking at. And what I've stepped back to realize is, you know, so many times, and you wonder why our generation today, we have a generation and not just my generation or the younger generation or the generation that came before me. There's these things that people just don't understand or look at or contemplate about God. They don't look at his power, because now we are beginning for us. Well, you know, I'll get to there. Let me just finish this verse and then we'll unfold on that. So God's first place in the beginning, it's that first place, God. In the beginning, God. And then it says God. The Hebrew word here for God is Elohim or Elohim, however you want to pronounce it. And it means the supreme one. And the word here for God is used as a plural. So it's like the Godhead. It's just not God singular. It's the plural, it's the Godhead, or what we call as the Trinity. And that's the word in the Hebrew that's used for God. So we're looking at this Godhead. So in the beginning, God, the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. And so it starts about that created. It starts about the beginning. But it doesn't get into in Genesis here of that very beginning. Where does that start? Where does that, how does that look like? And that takes us over to Psalms 20 or Psalms 90 verse 2. Psalms 90 verse 2 says this. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Talks about God's existence. of being everlasting to everlasting. That everlasting, it's Elohim. Elohim in the Hebrew is that everlasting to everlasting, meaning eternal. And this is really cool. So that word means like this vanishing point. It means God is so immense that he's like at this vanishing point. But before time, after time, it's like when things vanish, that's the description of that word, of this vanishing point of God. From everlasting, like it vanishes. Like we can't see that far. We can't understand that far. But the power of our God is that he's at the very beginning and he's at the very end, because there is no beginning and end for God. For us, there is, right? For us, we know we're going to die. For us, we know that for us to be here, we're born. We have that beginning. For the creation of the world, and we'll get into that the next couple weeks, but the creation of our world that we have, that we stand on, the trees that we have, everything was created and had a beginning point. That's what we understand. We have a beginning point. God doesn't have a beginning point. How in the world is that even possible in my mind? So my God, your God, our God is so immense that he doesn't even have a beginning point. And to me, when I stop to think about, when I hear stuff about atheism and about people turning and walking away from God, and people like, ah, there's no God, our mind is so small that we think we can put God in our box, but God is just so vast that it's so big that it's hard for us to grasp that. He's at that vanishing point that we don't understand. That's the beginning of God. Everlasting to everlasting. It's a time out of our mind, always, forever, perpetual. It's the beginning. It's just always been. That's God. Just always been. And then we get into the word created in Genesis. God created the heaven in the beginning. So God always has been, always there. He's at that vanishing point of that our minds can't comprehend. The power of God is that we pull from. The power that we saw in Ephesians is through the power of our mighty God. That power, this power that we're talking about in the very beginning, God's power. The word in Hebrew, so we step back and look at the word created in Hebrew, is bara. And this word bara in the Hebrew is only used, it's used 14 times in Genesis, but it's all, and not to kill you with the details, but I just thought it was fascinating, right? So this Hebrew word is only used from the standpoint of when God created something out of nothing. That's the only time in Scripture this word is specifically used in the Hebrew. So when God pulled something out of nothing and made and created something, that's when this word was used, bara. So God created this bara, created something out of nothing, make, to do, and it's only used when God did something out of nothing. So once again, to try to understand God, which my mind can't understand the forever of everlasting to everlasting, maybe yours can, I can't. Like I'm limited on that, just that concept of forever, of everlasting, of the immense universe that, you know, we have our telescopes and we look out far more than we've ever seen. And the universe just keeps going. Like forever, like so when you try to put that now in a human perspective and try to put that into my mind, my God's very powerful. My God's very powerful. How often do I forget that my God, who tells us to call out to him, that he is there for us, how many times do we forget how powerful this God is that we serve? We get rolled into our problems and we get rolled into situations and we forget. So that's where that is. And then the word for the Hebrews in heavens, God created the heavens. It's shamath, meaning the sky above the celestial time up above, like not the earth. The earth, that word means just the ground, the earth. So that's the beginning of where we're standing now, of what we're looking at with God. So, took me here was when you start thinking about this immense energy. I'm not sure if you saw, 3 Mile Island. You know 3 Mile Island? So 3 Mile Island out in the river in Susquehanna. When I was a kid, did you remember in like, I think it was 79, they had the meltdown. I think it was, do you guys remember that in 79? Okay. So when I was a kid, I remember learning about the meltdown. I remember specifically talking about it with my dad. We're living in, northern PA in a small town called Towanda. And he was the chief of police up there. And so one day we were out with some friends on the river, the Susquehanna River, which goes through Pennsylvania down and hit 3 Mile Island. And I remember the discussion because in school we talked about there's going to be this nuclear explosion and everything in the river and all these things are going to die because of the nuclear meltdown, which was 3 Mile Island, which we know could have happened. But so that's what I remember of this nuclear 3 Mile Island. Now, fast forward to now. So then 3 Mile Island was shut down. It was inefficient and had problems. But now all of a sudden this past week, now all of a sudden we see, guess what's coming back online? 3 Mile Island. Why is it coming back online? Does anyone know? What's that? They're going to open it again. Computer. Yeah, so Microsoft, Bill Gates, the corporation of Microsoft came into 3 Mile Island and they said, you know what, we need energy. We need a huge amount of energy to power what? To power our computer systems, for our cloud data, for AI, for all this type of stuff. They need an immense amount of power. I was doing some research on so what's the one over Limerick, the Limerick facility. And as you get into these nuclear facilities, they call them clean energy, which, you know, they're supposed to be clean energy. And there's no doubt we need energy. Whatever we do with energy, there's some form of bad that happens with energy because we have to either burn nuclear material, and then we have nuclear waste, and they put that underground that is bad, could kill people for, they say, 10,000 years, like it's still nuclear. Or we burn coal, and it puts off fossil, the smoke and smog and everything else. But so anyhow, long story short is, Microsoft came in, cut a deal, and said, we need this plant back online because we need this energy to power our systems, AI, artificial intelligence, and they need this revolving return of energy to power all this stuff. And we all use computers, right? I mean, maybe not everybody, but I'm on my, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't touch my computer. If it's my phone, even when I was elk hunting, I think I even had my satellite thing. So it's all powered by something, right? We always have this stuff. So in my mind, in our beginning, has anyone in this room ever had a time without electric? Electric, it's always been for us, hasn't it? It's always been here. The history of electric, Benjamin Franklin, and you go back and you talk about the discovery and how they harnessed electric, and then you get into look at you know, the people that have developed and tried to pull that energy just the energy and electric on how it transfers from Edison to Tesla and all these guys that they, if you go back and look at history of who's the greatest person on electric. But we know that it takes all this electric. So Microsoft now, which we know, who the artificial intelligence, very powerful. We can see what it does. We're just at the beginning stages of all this artificial intelligence. And what do we hear every day? We hear every day about how superior, how great, how supreme, how powerful the internet is, how powerful computer systems are, how powerful AI is. We hear that every single day. And that, then we begin to understand and wonder why the next generation thinks technology is so superior to God. Do you find that when you talk to people? Like, people have turned from God and could care less many times because they think God is just a fairy tale in the sky. The power that we have from God is an immense power that way surpasses any internet or artificial intelligence or any type of technology. Technology is very important and very good for our society. But without electric, where is technology? Right? I mean, how many times the other week we lost power and I kept filling up the generator with gas to keep my power on. But I don't think I've ever gone. Has anyone in here gone a month without electric in the last 20 years? Anybody? How about up at camp, Bob, your camp? Do you have electric up at camp? And it's always running, right? You always have. So we always have had this power source. And we rely on the grid because when we were born, our beginning, not God's beginning, but our beginning has always been revolving around we have electric. My beginning and your beginning, most likely, when I was born, what started my beginning, like I didn't have computer systems or the internet in my beginning. John, did you have the computer in your beginning? No. Gavin, when you were born, did you have the internet in your beginning? Yeah. This generation, I remember in 99 getting my first email. I was like, this is stupid. And I was, yeah. So then I was like, okay, it's just the internet. I was like, what's going to be? It says all of a sudden, like, so 99, I got this email address and I was building my house and I was like, okay, well, I won't check this for a while. And I get back a year later, I'm like, whoa, I have 200 emails. And now it's like you get that a day, and half a day. I mean, it's just so. But when I started, in my beginning, I didn't have the internet. I did not have, but I had electric. My beginning started electric. Your beginnings had electric. This next generation, their beginning has the power of the internet. We've all had the power of God, the power of God that is in our life, that we are created in His image, that power structure, that we are created in His image, that our society now is telling us technology overrides God. God is a fairy tale, a myth of the thing of the past. It's happened, like people talked about it, thousands and millions and billions. I don't even know where they go with how many years they all talk about. We'll get into creation the next couple weeks, but probably next week. And then we'll talk about Darwinism and stuff like that. But the generation that we have now coming up, they don't see an importance to God. They don't see that God is way more powerful than any internet, than any electrical source. Now, we go back and you see Bill Gates, Microsoft, put on an entire nuclear facility to generate power for one specific corporation to handle the power and energy that they need. I don't want to get super scientific here, but the energy that God used in the very, so God says in the beginning, I am here. And then I, God, in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. He's his own sustainable force of power. So when you think about what we have in scripture that comes to us to say, Jeff, when you're battling a problem, when you're confronted with a situation that's overwhelming you or too much for you to handle, man, what do we do? I go back and remember the God of my creation in the beginning, the God who has always been, is such an immense source of power. And the New Testament, we talk about, it talks about it as well. But what we just looked at in Ephesians is relying on God's mighty power. How many times do we not do that? And that was my journey of God, how powerful. And he kind of talks about, not to be weird, from the sense of God being a big genie, right? Not to be that way, but my thought was, God, how can I tap into your power stream more than I am now? Like, if God is this power, this immense power, that he's a continual source of his own force of energy that keeps the existence of everything forever, don't you think we should really be understanding that of who our God is? Because right now, when you talk about technology, good thing, but technology now is overplacing God because technology is the thing of technology. It's superior. And they need this immense power source. It takes like 475 million gallons of water. Was that a minute? Yeah, 470 gallons of water per minute to cool down the reactors. That's a lot of water a minute just to cool down a nuclear reactor. That's why building on a river is a pretty smart thing. So it takes that much water to cool down these generators. That's how hot. I forget, it was huge heat levels that the reactors are going. They're splitting the atoms, and it's just a mass amount of heat and this mass amount of electronic type of stuff. I don't even understand it all, but all I know is create a huge amount of heat and energy to break atoms because to bring this power into our life. God, how much bigger is our God than that power source? That was my question. How much bigger is my God, your God, our Creator? How big is that? All right, so we'll jump over to John. John chapter 1 talks about in the New Testament as well. And we'll be ending up here. John 1. We're going to read 1 and 2. Just talks about God in the very beginning. Because when we talk about then the Godhead, we talk about this power source. We talk about who God is. And if we are going to rely and know who God is, then we need to promote that more as well. Because I think today people forget, because how many times do we not look at God that way? We talk about all this power of all these other things, but we don't say God is all power. And we don't market it. We don't, and that's what, you know, marketing takes a, it changes people's mind. Right now in political season, we hear vote for such and such, vote for such and such, don't vote for such and such, don't vote for such and such, vote this way, vote that way. Here's the person you want, here's the person you don't. And we hear flip-flopping all around, and it's this constant marketing for the next, till election time. Why? Because that marketing, they know, the more times you hear it, the more times you see it, it changes, it makes you think about it. We don't do that with God, do we? We come to church, Sundays, we listen on the radio, and believers many times continue to wrap themselves in God's world and understand God and they hear it. But outside of God's world, where this is God's world, right? But outside of like the church, how many times do we forget to tell these people, to tell others that here, this is who God is? Because they need that marketing. The outside world does not get the marketing of God. They hear about it maybe, but there's a lot of people who have never heard the gospel in the United States. There's a lot of people, and that's why I wanted to start in the beginning, because our schools and our colleges and all these institutions do not teach the creation story of the Bible anymore. Our students, many of them, have never heard about creation, about God creating everything. Our Sunday schools now across the board, there's Sunday schools even in churches don't exist. It's just not, that stuff doesn't happen as much as it used to. So we need to continue. And my thought is we need to continue to market that power of God. And that's what I was marketing to myself. How big is my God? John 1 and 2, we'll end with this. Once again, it's talking about in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. In the beginning, Word, and the Word was God. So it was talking about the Godhead again, Jesus, the Word, and He was God. And in the beginning, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus, the Word, was with God in the very beginning. In the very beginning. So Jesus, everlasting to everlasting as well. He's that Godhead. Everlasting to ever, that vanishing point, the point that we can't see or understand. Actually, that's what I woke up last night. I just remembered my dream. I was so intense on understanding this last night. I woke up at 3 a.m. I went down to get a donut. And so I snuck out of bed so Jen, I wouldn't wake Jen up. And went down to get a donut. But that's what woke me up. I had this dream about this vanishing point and it scared me. And I woke up out of like, you know, cause I was just kind of trying to chew this in my mind of this power of God. Sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Let's go to 3. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's our world. Darkness doesn't understand the power of God. Darkness, our evil world, doesn't understand the power of God. I think the demons, I think the heavenly realms understand the power of God. The humans, we don't hear about it because we're not supposed to think about the power of God. Because when you step back and think about the power of God, that's what I want to tap into. I'm not saying that rudely. I'm saying, God, if You're that powerful, how can I get more of that? That's what I want. That's my prayer for this church. That's my prayer for everybody. If we can get a more understanding of who and the power that God is, do you think that'll help us in our life? Do you think we can understand Scripture better? Do you think we'll be nicer and happier for other people? Do you think we'll help people more? Do you think we'll have better biblical counsel to people? If we can tap in more to that power source of God, what's that power source? This week, next week we're going to talk about creation. I hope next week, so can someone please next week come in ready to tell me something that they found about the power of God? Kind of I'm on this journey, and we're going to do this journey together. So I need 2 or 3 people, or even more. It'd be great to have everybody to just say, Jeff, this is what I found about the power of God. And let's look at some of that. The power of God, our Creator, who has given us Jesus, our Savior, is our power source. Let's tap into that and understand that more to better ourselves and to better those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I try to understand your power. I want to understand your power more. I want to live my life that's sourced by this power source that you have, that we know the power of the Lord, the power of God is so immense and so big. I want to know that more, Lord, to help me to serve you better, not for selfish reasons or anything else, just to serve you. You're my God, my Creator. Lord, speak to us the next couple weeks. Really pull out and show us through your Spirit of how powerful you are. Help us to understand that power. Help us to really look at that power to know who we are serving with our life. And help us to make those choices to tell people about who you are. Lord, help us not to be deceived and tricked and to fall into some of the stuff that is trying to pull us away from this power source that you are. Lord, give us that wisdom. Speak to us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.